Hana Esther.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're going to start in about 1 minute. We'll give us another people chance to arrive. But I usually do start on time just for information purposes. That's not to say that you can't come late. It's okay. And I start every class with the Anabakoa and also a verse from the Zohar. The Anabakoa, I don't know if you have any background in it or understanding, the Anabakoa is in all of the Orthodox Siddurim and also the conservative Siddurim. It is the 42-letter name of God that was used to create the universe. All of the worlds are created with this 42-letter name. And it consists of 7 verses, 6 words each, and the 7th word is the letters themselves. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi, it's Wendy Barker. I'm sorry to be interrupting if I'm late. I apologize.
You're not interrupting. I haven't really started. I was just talking to the people here that are with me physically,
Okay. I see. Okay.
We have people physically with me, and then we have the conference call. So feel free to ask questions at any time. And I was just explaining that the way I start classes is with the Anabakoa, which you may or may not be familiar with, and that's fine. In the 3rd week of our classes, you'll have much more information about it. And I also start right after that with a verse I read from the Zohar. And then we go into the class. So you'll hear Hebrew at the beginning, and then afterwards we'll go into the class, which is always done in English. Sometimes I'll add English Hebrew words to it, but I'll always explain them. So are there any questions before we begin? Anabekoa gedulat yemincha tatir serura alafet gimel yutat zavi. These 6 letters have a gematria of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase ahavatinam, unconditional love. And they have the same gematria as one of the names of God, Vav Shin Resh, which is a name that deals with memory, but not memory in the traditional sense, memory in the sense of making mistakes and realizing that you made that mistake, which some people call a mistake of sin. Kabel rinat amcha sagbenu tacharenu nora gufresh ayin sintet nun. These 6 letters spell 2 Hebrew words, Kra, which means to tear up, and Satan, which is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. Those same 6 letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan. They sound similar, but they're different. And Sha'ar Katan means small gates. And it's a message to us to guard our gates, which are the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, which are the entry points to the negative system. Na gibor dor sheyehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. The first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, have a gematria of 57, which is the same as the Hebrew word Zan. Zan translates as Parnassah, sustenance. But it's more than physical sustenance. It's actually the fulfillment of any desire you might have that is appropriate. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence of letters that are a healing sequence that allow us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be cleansed, where it can be healed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then returning that part of the body to the body, where it will again do its job as it was meant to do. Perfectly, as it was created to do perfectly. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkacha tamid gamlem. Betet resh, Sadi Taf Gimel. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Netzach, which means eternity, eternal. This sequence connects us to the ability to swallow death forever. Chasin kadosh berov tuvcha na'el adatecha ket kufbet tet dunayim. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Hod, which represents the energy of thankfulness and appreciation. Yachid Geir Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatecha Yud Gimelamed Hei Zayin Kuf. This sequence connects to the Sefirah of Yesod, the Sefirah that channels everything from the spiritual world to the physical world, and everything from the physical world back up to the spiritual world. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Ta'aluvot Shinkufav Tzadiyutav. The first two letters, Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400. 400 represents the four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. It represents completion. It represents, ultimately, perfection. The last four letters have the same gematria as the first verse, 506, and reconnects us to the energy, the essence of Ahavatinam, unconditional love. And what we learn from this is that the path to completion, the path to perfection, is by injecting unconditional love in every step of our process. We've said these seven verses, which represent the energy of creation, which means we've brought that energy into our space. Now we need to separate the negative aspect of that creation from its positive aspect, and we utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for that purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Bechanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, No tzeches la lafim, no se awon ba fesha, vechata avinakei. The next step in our process of creation. The next step in our process of creation is to connect to the energy of this year, 5777, the year of the goats, the year of the wake-up call to do Teshuvah. And there is a verse, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52, that connects to that energy through its gematria of 777. And the first letters of that verse, because I haven't memorized the words yet, the first letters parse into three Hebrew words, Tzatz, Ki, Ach. And that means it translates literally as pretend to be a brother. And the teaching of that is fake it till you make it. Just as you've heard in all the physical classes. What is the idea? Once you do something and you continue to do that thing, you will eventually become a brother to all of human beings. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper, but I'm going to say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kigod Malchuto Leolam Vayet. And now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Noah. I'm reading from verse 204 in the Sulam commentary of the Zohar, which is in section 27, and I will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bif Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu Liakta Shem Yudhe Bavavhe B'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asot Torah Mitzvah Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu fenenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu fenenehu. Vayizu et habteva vataram me'al haaretz. Rabbi Abba petach ruma al hashamayim Elokim al kol haaretz. Kivodecha Vavlon lecha yavaya Teinun chatan Umargizin Lemarehon Bekol yoma ucho vayhu Brachyan la lashkinta Meara vegarmin Tetistalek mealma Ushkinta ikre Elokim va'ala Ketiv ruma al hashamayim Elokim. And they bore up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Rabbi Abba began by saying, be you raised above the heavens, Elohim. Your glory is above all the earth. This is a verse from Psalms. Woe to the wicked who sin and provoke their master, the Almighty, every day. For by their sins they push the Shekhinah out of the earth. Excuse me. And cause her to leave this world. Because the Shekhinah is called Elohim, it is said about her, be you raised above the heavens, Elohim. Does anybody have any questions before we begin the actual class?
What psalm was it? What?
I'm sorry?
What psalm was that?
I'd have to open it up again and look at it. I'll give it to you after the class.
Shekhinah
is a word that is used by the Kabbalists to describe the feminine aspect of Hashem. It represents manifestation. It represents birth.
it represents all that is good. It represents the Queen. It represents Shabbat. It's a word that is very, very powerful. And to answer your question from before, the 13 attributes are not on this page because we... No, it's not. We ran out of paper. I figure people know the 13 attributes. And if not, on my website, there is the 13 attributes. You can find it at all. More than you normally know about it. Now, today's class can be found on the conference call. It can be found in the Yeshem website, yeshem.com. On any page, if you click at the top where it says Revealed Wisdom, when that page opens up, you can scroll down to the matrix, the green and white lines. And on the left column of the matrix, it says Basic Class. And if you go to row 1, we're in Class 1. So click on Class 1. And it will take you to a page that starts out with many different recordings, all of Class 1, all of what we are teaching today, which I have done in many different cities around the country. And for those people who connect to this information through the website, they're just supposed to pick one of those recordings. But below the recordings, you will find handouts. And as we go through the class, you'll find I will direct you to those handouts. But right now, you don't need to utilize that. This class is an introduction to Kabbalah. Kabbalah means, in Hebrew, to receive. And the question has to be asked, what am I to receive? Am I to receive the pain and the suffering and the growing old? Or am I to receive the goodness of God, the goodness of Hashem? What am I to receive? And of course, we are here to receive the goodness of Hashem. Because that is the thought of creation, according to what the Kabbalists teach. Hashem had a thought to be revealed. Because he's a spiritual entity, whatever that means. And without a body, and Hashem has no body, he cannot be perceived. His thought was to be perceived, to be revealed. But in addition to that thought, as part of that thought, he also thought to create creatures who would receive his goodness. And that is what we are here to do, to receive his goodness. But in this world, sometimes we don't perceive his goodness. In fact, we think his goodness is painful. We think his goodness isn't good at all when we call it evil. We call it negative. But in reality, it's never negative. It's never good, God forbid. It's never evil. But from our perspective, nobody likes pain. Nobody likes suffering. And sometimes that happens. Next week in our class, we will explain why that happens. But here we are learning, what is Kabbalah? Kabbalah is teaching us how to receive the goodness of God. And let me give you a simple metaphor. If I take a 220-volt air conditioner and I plug it into a 110-volt socket, is it going to work properly? It's going to burn up. It's going to short out. It's going to be chaotic. if you don't know how to receive the goodness of God, then it's chaos. And if you look around our world, that's what we see many times. Chaos, suffering, pain. And it's not the way it needs to be. But people, for whatever reason, for the last 5,700 years, have not learned how to receive from Hashem this goodness. And Kabbalah is what teaches you how to do that.
And that's why it's so much suffering. We appear to be suffering and pain. We're not able to receive.
That's correct. What Patricia said, so those on the conference call, that the world appears to be chaotic and painful and negative, but that the reason that it appears that way is that people have not yet learned how to receive the goodness of Hashem. So does anybody have any questions?
What signs are there to know when you receive that?
Albert is asking a very good question. And his question is, how do you know you're receiving the goodness of Hashem? The simple answer, which is very difficult to understand, in your life, you've had times when things were painful. And then you looked back on those experiences and realized that they were good. A metaphor for that is you arrive late to the airport to get on a plane taking you to a $1 billion sales meeting where you're going to make the sale for $1 billion. And you arrive late and you miss the plane. That's absolutely the worst thing that ever happened to you, isn't it? It's horrible. You're going to get fired. You have all of these fears. And as you're driving home, trying to get the plane rearranged and reschedule the meeting, you hear on the news that the plane crashed and everyone was killed, God forbid. Was it a good thing that you were late or not? Everything that we receive is good. We just can't perceive it as good because we're focused on ourselves, on our pain, on what we don't have instead of what we do have. But that's something that we've been trained by our society. We learned as children from our parents. We learned it in school. What's important? To gain more things, more materiality. But that's not what we're here to do. And we'll learn more about that next week. Are there any other questions?
I just have a comment. I was out walking this morning,
and
I saw a woman parking near the home in a very fancy car,
mm-hmm.
a sports car. And as I shut out with a little dog, it
passes down upside down.
And as I passed the car, looking at it, and it had the label Porsche on it.
Don't turn it over yet.
I just had this thought about, what does that mean? What does that mean that she's driving this extravagant sports car? Is she trying to, or is it, what is behind that?
The question that Patricia's asking, because she experienced today walking and seeing a Porsche drive by and questioning
why that person has the Porsche and I don't. Questioning what's the meaning behind the Porsche.
Why
has she chosen to buy a Porsche?
Right.
To show because she has the means?
Yeah.
Or because someone gave it to her? Or because she did what was important to her? Or she wants to be noticed? And she wants to be, this is what she considers attractive. All of these things are different levels of consciousness. We don't know why she bought the car or how she had got the car.
Or even if it's her car.
Or even if it's her car. We don't know any of those things because in this physical world, we can't read another person's minds and motivation. And so the answer to your question is you don't know. But you can know why you would buy the Porsche if you had the means. And that's something for you to decide.
You know what? I was thinking about that, and I would not feel good exposing myself like that.
Well, I can tell you from my own life experience, when I did have the means in my 20s and 30s, with a large family business that employed 400 people, I did buy those things. And I came to understand the futility and how unimportant those things are. Okay.
But that's
where you are today. But
right.
Since I know personally you used to sing professionally, you did need to be noticed when you sang professionally. And yes, it may have been uncomfortable. By the same token, it was part of your job. And so, yes, you do understand that, even if you have grown to a point where you no longer see that as important. And that brings up the reality, why do we change? Why do we grow? Because I'm not the same person I was when I was 25. I certainly don't look like it physically, but I'm not the same person emotionally. I'm not the same person consciously. Why do we change? And we will discuss that through the classes.
I don't understand why she should worry about somebody driving a Porsche car. The rabbis say, who's a happy man? A man, happy man's a person that's happy with what he's got. No.
That's correct.
She's lucky she's able to be walking up and down the street.
That's correct.
Driving. No.
Albert is bringing the Perkei Avot statement of the rabbis that tells us, they ask the question in Proverbs.
You can make yourself crazy worried about that.
Well, I don't think I was worried. I was just trying to understand.
You were contemplating. The thought came from somewhere.
Yes.
And you were contemplating. There was nothing wrong with that. But understanding the truth of what the rabbis have said, who is a happy man? Who is a happy person? Someone who is content with what they have. But they also say to be happy with what you have and also to ask for more. Why do you need to ask for more if you're happy with what you have? And that comes from the Creator. He gave us an instinct to always want more. Why? We'll discuss this more next week. But the why is because the Creator's essence is to share. And if you want more, He can share more. If you don't want more, yes, but that's a level that we'll get to in a while. Are there any other questions? Okay, on the conference call, we are looking at the short F test. So if you'll open that link up, and the people in Atlanta here can turn over the paper. And you are asking to count the number of the letter F's in the bold sentence, the one sentence.
S
F. Yeah. F is in front.
And you know what I'd like to find? I'd like to find a whole
Reading some background
noise
on the conference call.
Please mute your phone by pressing star 6. You can always unmute it by pressing star 6 again, and you are welcome to ask questions at any time. So please count the letter F's. And when you're finished, let me know you're finished. Okay. How many have counted three letters F's? Okay. Isabella counted three. How many have counted four? Albert has counted four. How many five? How many six? The other two have counted six. How many have counted seven? 8, 9. The correct number is 6. What is the purpose of this fun experience? Where did you make the mistake? Why did you count 6? Why did you get it correct? The question is not that you did the results, but why yes or why no. Albert, a second time through, counted 6 because he knows the answer. He's looking for it.
I went slower.
You went slower. Now I'm going to explain a deeper level.
Not a Russian. A Russian food.
The reason that people make mistakes is not because they rush. They make mistakes because their ego says, I'm important. And this is too simple for me. Counting the number 6, counting the letter F's, is not important. So I'll rush through it, or I'll miss the word of, O-F. Why do I miss the word of? Simple reason. Because in my mind, it's not an F, it's a V. Of is O-V, not O-F. So I rush through it. The reason we make mistakes is our ego. The ego that says, I'm important and nobody else is important. The ego that says, I have and the other person has more. I have and the other person has less. I have and the other person shouldn't have. This all comes from our egos. Now, I am using the word ego, but not in the context of a psychiatrist or a therapist or a psychologist. I'm using the ego in a simple definition. What separates you from God? Why don't I connect to God every minute of every day? Because I have an ego that says, I'm important. I don't need God, God forbid. All of the different attitudes of our egos, this is what separates us from the Creator. Now, there's a rule in this class. I want you to listen very closely. There is only one rule in this class. Never believe anything I say. But please try what I suggest you to try. I'm holding a book book up. I won't drop it. But if I were to drop it, would it fall on the table?
Yes.
Do you believe it will fall on the table?
I know it will.
Or do you know it will fall on the table?
No.
When you believe, you're not sure. 99%, I expect it to fall on the table. But maybe Hanoch is truly capable of calling an angel to snatch it out of the air before it hits the table. You think that's true? Maybe. I'll catch it with my other hand.
It might bounce and fall on the floor.
Essentially, you all know that it will fall to the table. Why?
Because
you've experienced it a million times, Robert.
Not only that, but when you study in school, you learn the laws, the physical laws of gravity. And we experience that.
Who created gravity? The Creator created gravity. Why?
So we believe that he's right.
No, there's a difference. Some people believe he's right. And I will ask them, do you believe in God? But if somebody asks me that, my answer is no, I don't believe in God. I know God. I've experienced God. It's meaningful to me. I am not saying that it needs to be meaningful to you. In fact, if you don't believe in God, the rules and the tools that I will teach will work just as well whether you believe in God, whether you know God, whether you ask God, they still work for you. This is what it means to receive the goodness of God. God doesn't expect you to respond. He has a spiritual principle. Appreciate what you receive, and I'll give you more. Don't appreciate it. I'm still going to continue to give you more, but not as fast. Spiritual law. Don't believe a word I say, but try what I ask you to try. And when you're done, I'll give you a time limit on those trying. Thus, after three months of trying what I suggest, it either works for you or it doesn't. I have never had any student say to me it doesn't work. What I have had students say, it works fine, but it's too hard. And I don't promise you an easy path, because you have to undo all that false information you accepted and learned as children and as adults and from a society that doesn't have it right. Is it totally wrong? No, because there's good everywhere. But what is good for me may not be good for you. And we have to understand that. We have to learn that. So please, never believe a word I say, but try what I suggest. So I'm telling you that the reason that you didn't count this right was because your ego said, go fast. Your ego said, I'm important. Your ego said, this is too simple for me. Or many other reasons, all related to that identity of myself, me, myself, and I. Why did you get it right? Because you have Virgo in your chart and you see details? That's why you got it right. Because English isn't your first language? That's why you got it right, because you don't see OF as OV. You see it as OF, and you count them. Why else would you get it right? Because you don't have an ego? No,
The person who was given was born in Virgo. The person who was born in Virgo has been given this ability by the Creator to see details that other people won't see. Why? We'll explain that next week when we answer the question, what happened before the Big Bang? What is the purpose of our being in this physical world? Why am I here? Why am I still here as I get older and it's still more painful? What have I done wrong? Why am I experiencing this? All of these questions in general will be answered next week in our class. Any other questions so far?
When's the next class?
Next Sunday at 5 p.m., the same time.
My family needs to thank you.
Now, for the people on the conference call, we're going to pass out the long F test. I'm turning it over. Now you can start, turn it over and start counting the number of letter F's in this sentence. Let me know when you've completed the counting. How many have 10? 11? 13? 14? 15? 16? 17? The correct number is 14. Now you know the reason. You know the reason that you made the mistake the first time. You've been told how to fix the reason. You've been told how to correct it. And yet three out of the four of you made a mistake, didn't you?
I can't believe it.
Why? You've been told. You've been given the reason. You know how to do it. Slow down and look at the letters, not the words. And yet, and this is not an unusual class. There are only essentially two major reasons why people get this right. And usually, if you got it right the first time, you get it wrong the second time. This didn't happen this time. There's one person in this class who got them both right. Just as an indication, they have a lot of Virgo in their charts.
what month? I forgot what.
Elul. No, that's the month before Yom Kippur. Elul is the month of Teshuvah. That's the month of Teshuvah. An interesting teaching in Kabbalah that I won't explain now, but I will as in the various classes. If you have a male who was born in the month of Elul with the month of Virgo as a sun sign, it's an indication that that person was the cause of an accidental death in his previous lifetime. And this lifetime, he's given this tool of details so that he doesn't lose the consciousness of forgetting about people and being aware of it. But because he has that ability to see details, he's constantly judging and comparing and making that issue. And the correction for the person, for the Virgo sun sign, is to stop judging others and judging himself. I have a grandson who was born in Elul. And I could see him as a baby, as a toddler, is sitting on the floor. He can't speak yet. He can't crawl yet. But he's observing everything, like all of the babies do. But in his, you could see in his mind and behind his eyes, he was judging. And he's now 7 years old. He's still doing that. But he's getting less so. He's being given information from his parents about how not to become that way, why he shouldn't be that way. Because he was given those details, the ability to see those details, to judge himself and not others.
Because I got it right both times. I'm the person that you have been judging others.
I'm not saying that. You're not the same person you were as a toddler. You've changed.
Yeah.
But you've used this tool for that purpose, to be able to see details. What you do with that, those details are within you, judging yourself. That's the positive. Judging others is the negative. Any questions?
What about dreams?
What about dreams is the question. Dreams are messages. We'll discuss dreams in detail in one of our classes. If you have a particular dream and you need help in interpreting it, call me. My phone number is 818-613-3457, and let me help you interpret it. I don't interpret, but I help guide you to be able to see what is the right interpretation for you. I'll tell you a story that comes from the Talmud. There was a sage in the city of Jerusalem in temple times, and there were 22 dream interpreters who made their living by interpreting dreams of other people. And he took his dream to all 22. And all 22 interpretations were different. And all 22 came true. A dream is a message that will follow its interpretation. You only want to ask someone who loves you, who is going to give you a positive interpretation to help you with interpreting your dream. Because if that person or you say, oh my God, this is a horrible dream, and it means XYZ, then that horrible XYZ is going to happen, God forbid. A dream is sent to be interpreted. If you don't interpret it, it's like you received a letter from Hashem and didn't open it. I'll teach you in the class on dreams, I teach you how to go back and remember it. How to ask the creator, the universe, to send you that dream again so that you do remember it. So that you have that benefit. Every dream, we all dream every night, and most of us don't remember all of those dreams. Why? Because we don't have the merit. We didn't do the positive things that day that we needed to do in order to remember those dreams. And sometimes you go to sleep and sleep your 8 or 10 hours, and you wake up and you found that you're exhausted, like you were fighting all night. And the truth is you were, because of the actions you did that day. You don't merit to get as high as you need to get to be cleansed and to be revealed. You're being attacked by the negative system, because that's the effect of doing negative actions that particular day. Again, don't believe a word I say, but you'll begin to see the truth of what I say if you follow the things that I suggest. Any questions on the conference call? Okay, now we're going to go to the dot test. And this one you can turn over right away and read. These you can take home with you if you wish, because next week I'll give you the answers. I'll explain how to do it.
Don't make me crazy.
Well, since I see you at lunch most days, you could, rather than get crazy, you could ask me and I'll show you. So the dot test is very simple. There's 9 dots. And you are to try and, using your pen, once you put it on the paper, don't take it off, draw 4 straight lines that connect all 9 dots. That's the puzzle. And since I know Patricia's already seen this before, but doesn't mean she remembers. And if you do have seen it before and try it, your homework is to go and get this complete. Because there's a spiritual lesson in this game.
4 straight lines.
4 straight lines. And if you need more copies, I have more copies of the tests. No. If you connect... drawing a horizontal line across the 3 lines, that's 1 line. Well, as I said, you can come see me anytime, and I'll give you the answer. I don't want anybody going crazy, but I do want people to learn.
You know, they said the only person who talked to God was Moshe Rabbeinu.
And
all the rest of them dreamed, got their message through dreams.
The only one, what it says is that the only one who talked to God face to face, like a friend, was Moshe Rabbeinu. All of the other prophets, all of the other sages, received their messages in dreams, in visions, in tools of Kabbalah. But it's all on a lower level than what Moshe reached. But that doesn't mean that you can't reach that level. We can all be Moshe Rabbeinu's level. We will never be Moshe Rabbeinu, but we can reach his level that applies to our soul. We've almost completed our hour. Are there any questions before we call the class complete for the day?
We'll go home and practice.
Okay. At least you know how to form the structure of the 9 dots.
4 straight.
On the conference call, we will have this class again, as I said earlier, next Sunday at 5 p.m. And this class will go for about 20 weeks. Every week you will be receiving a tool of Kabbalah that will explain a spiritual law, a spiritual truth. What you do with that is up to you. At the end of the 20 weeks, you will have all of the tools you will ever need to remove chaos from your life. And none of you will do it immediately, because we don't learn immediately. But if you use the tools, I can tell you from personal experience, you will remove more and more chaos from your life. I hope you all have a beautiful week. Also, for those of you who want to understand, I'm going to say, explain my weekly patterns. Monday at 4:30, I teach a class on Zohar on the conference call. Wherever you are, and I should say 4:30 is West Coast time. So that means 7:30 here in Atlanta. I'll be here on the second floor. I teach the... I know. I'll be
on the dining room.
It's in the dining room. And I eat, and then I wait for the class till 7:30. And then I give it when they move, it will be in the dining room. Now, Monday at 7 p.m., which is 10 p.m., I give a class. And on Mondays, the class is essays by one of the Kabbalists, Rabbi Ashlag. He's a modern Kabbalist from the 20th century. Tuesday at 4:30 is a Zohar mini class, the half hour. And Tuesday night, this night, Tuesday at 10, is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. And we are taught in Kabbalah that the reason we have a Rosh Chodesh holiday is to take control of the astrological influences that month. You've all heard that Jewish people, children of Israel, are not affected by the astrological influences, by the astrology. But that's only true if you follow the rituals of Rosh Chodesh. And we will explain that. And one of those is to do what we do Tuesday night at 7 p.m. West Coast time, 10 o'clock. And yes, I know it means staying up. But we can do it at the early class if you wish. Because Cheshvan is a very difficult month, God forbid, for most people. But if you take control on it, you won't have that problem. The reason it's difficult is because back in biblical days, on the 17th of Cheshvan, the flood rain started. That's the beginning of the flood. The month of Cheshvan is like a flood for most people. Yes?
There's
one at 7:30 Eastern time and 10 o'clock.
7:30 Eastern time where?
Second floor.
I got choir practice.
I appreciate that. You know, if you don't come, I understand. And 7:30 and 10 are the two times every day. Monday to Thursday, 7:30 and 10, I teach classes. You're welcome to come on by calling into the conference call number. You're welcome to come physically on those times that I'm giving the physical. Wednesday at 7:30. 4:30 West Coast time is a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock Eastern time, there's a question and answer series. You've heard of those, ask the rabbi. Well, I'm not a rabbi, but I've never been asked a question that I either didn't have the answer right away or couldn't give it the next week because I did the research. And that's the truth of Kabbalah. There's never a question that doesn't get answered. I once waited 13 years to have a question answered, but it will always be answered. Thursday at 4:30, I teach advanced reincarnation. 7:30 is the time. And at 10 o'clock, I teach a Zohar class. That's a full section of this book, of the Zohar. Thursday is at 7 o'clock. I mean, at on the third floor. Thursday only. Okay. Then Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat, you have a new energy coming in, a new week, a new parasha. I teach the Zohar that night to give you an opportunity to connect to that energy at that time. It's 10 o'clock and it's late. But if you want energy, like me, I'm an energy junkie. At Sunday morning, 10:30 or 1:30 Eastern time, I'm teaching a class on different subjects that are appropriate for everybody. This last one today was, why do you study the Zohar? It's a very powerful class, and there's recordings if you want to listen to them. The recordings are on the internet. You can take them down from my class, from the website.
You can consider Sunday at, I'm sorry.
At 1:30 in the afternoon Eastern time. Now, if you want to write down, the conference call number is 712-832-8300. And the PIN code to get into the conference is 911-904 and the number sign or the pound sign. And I wish you all a Shavua Tov, a good week.
Shavua Tov, thank you.
Thank you, Chana Esther. And Wendy, if you're still there, have a beautiful week.